Good morning.
Good
morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we celebrate one of the most dramatic events in the Bible. You've hopefully heard the story before. The disciples and other followers of Christ were hiding in the room with all the doors shut and the windows locked. Then suddenly there's wind, there's fire, and everyone is speaking in tongues. And then, after that, Peter gives one of the best sermons ever. But I do wonder if we don't sometimes allow ourselves to get distracted by the spectacle. If we allow ourselves to get so excited over all the cool things that are happening this day, that we end up forgetting about why Pentecost is really important. Listen again, therefore, to the beginning of the story of Pentecost, and try to figure out why this day is one of the five great festivals of the church year. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your spirits and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a lot of stuff, right? It's a lot of things happening, a lot of things that we sort of wish would happen nowadays, at least in the same way that it happened then, because of how exciting and how edifying we think that would be. But before we get to that, we should talk briefly about how did this happen? How did the Spirit come down upon them in that way? Sometimes we question why Jesus had to go to heaven. We wonder why he couldn't just stay here with us. Wouldn't that have been better if Jesus was actually here so that we could go and visit him and talk to him and hug him and say thank you for all of the things that he's done for us? And yet, as you heard in our gospel reading for today, Jesus himself tells us that it's actually better for him to rise up into heaven and send the Spirit to us than it would be for him to stay. And that can be a hard thing for us to understand. How is it better for Jesus to rise and for the Spirit to come when we can't see the Spirit, when we can't touch him, when we can't talk to him in the same way that we would have talked to Jesus if he was actually here? And the answer, of course, is because what the job of the Spirit is. The Spirit comes down and descends in order to proclaim what Christ has done. In order to sort of set free the Word of God. Because while Jesus is here on earth, he is limited in a sense. He can, in fact, only be in one place at a time like that. And sure, he can, of course, move himself around, but he's still a human. Only a certain number of people could talk to him at any given point. Not necessarily because he's limited in that way, but more because we are. It'd be difficult if he was trying to have 12 conversations at the same time with the 12 disciples. But the Spirit isn't limited like that. The Spirit can, in fact, be having a conversation with every single one of us at the same time. We aren't limited by Jesus' physical presence among us. And of course, he is still here physically. Because the Spirit is here, because he has descended upon the disciples are finally able to begin their mission. They're finally able to truly be the apostles. Before Pentecost, the disciples were up in the room. They were hiding. They were waiting. But now that the Spirit has come, they can start doing their job. They can go out as Christ commanded them to do in the Great Commission. They can begin to teach. They can begin to baptize. They can finally begin to start building the church. Or more accurately, the Spirit can finally begin to start building the church through them. Pentecost is one of the best days in the church year because it is in Pentecost that the gospel explodes. Before, it had been limited to basically Israel, and even more limited, really, to Jerusalem and Galilee for the most part. That's where Jesus was traveling. That's where he spent his time. And while he spent brief moments outside of those areas, they are very brief. For the most part, the only people at this point who know about Jesus are those who have actually seen him and heard of him in his native country. But now, things change. Before this point, it would have been exceedingly rare for people to hear the gospel in their native language. There were really only two or three options to hear it before this. That would have been Hebrew, Greek, and maybe Aramaic. But now, just listen to all of the people that were there that heard it. You've got Parthians, you've got Medes, you've got Elamites, people of Mesopotamia, Judea, of course, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, even the Romans, even the Cretans, and even the Arabians. That is essentially the entire known world at this time, was there in Jerusalem. And every single one of them heard about what Jesus did for them in their own language. Maybe you wonder why we are so insistent on teaching people in their native language. The reason for that is really quite simple. We do it because God did it. In Pentecost, people could finally hear the word of God. And because the Spirit had descended not only on the disciples, but on all people, they could hear it and actually receive it. Faith could be created inside of them through that word by the Spirit. And so finally, the Christian church begins to be built. You may remember that Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock, I will build my church." And that rock is the confession of Christ. And today, we celebrate the day that for the first time, that really starts to happen. People hear the confession that Peter gives, and they believe it. Today is in many ways the beginning of the Christian church. In many ways, today we celebrate the beginning of all of this. Pentecost is when the faith of a few outliers in the Jewish province began to become the faith of many. When people would begin to not only sit and listen, but would begin to actually believe. Today, we celebrate the day when the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ exploded. It started in Jerusalem, but would rapidly reach the ends of the known world, and eventually would become the world's largest faith. Peter and the disciples didn't do this by being the smartest people around. They didn't even really do it with signs and miracles. There's only a few of those in the entire book of Acts. In fact, they really didn't do it at all. It's the Spirit's job to build the church. He is the, and the primary way that he did it at that point in history was through some fishermen telling a story. A story that would go on to rock the foundations of the world. A story about us, who in our sinfulness needed someone to save us. A story about a man who was God, who stepped up to rescue us from the wrath of God by dying on a cross. A story about a father who allowed his son to die in order to adopt his enemies as his children. And a story about the Spirit, who came down from heaven in order to build up his church on this world. Is not our God gracious? He uses something as simple as the words that come out of our mouths in order to save people. Through a simple story, he creates faith in himself, faith which receives the forgiveness that he offers and which will continue to receive all the good gifts that he sends. A story that will be told forever. You are free to trust in this story, just like the men, women, and children who heard the disciples on Pentecost trusted in it. Free to trust the God who told the story, just like the Israelites trusted the God who told them that one day he would save them from their sin. And you are also free to tell that story to anyone who will listen to you. For the Spirit is still here. The Spirit is still building his church, still creating faith, and is still working through the Word of God to save the people around us. May God bring this good work which he has started to completion on the day of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.